supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. Gotta hustle to complete your fall to-do list. Let's count down with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. And Derek, we're counting down to the advent of winter.
It's coming. On Wednesday this week, 5:44 a.m., we'll arrive at a point in our orbit around the sun, what we now refer to as winter solstice. This is the time of year when, of course, for the northern portion of the planet, things are at their coldest and we have the fewest number of hours and minutes of daylight.
So how is it that the latest sunrise is still to come?
Well, it's all about the Earth's motion around the sun, as we mentioned before. But because the orbit is elliptical and the speed with which the Earth is rotating the sun being different in the winter than it is in the summer, then we have this very slight sort of imbalance, if you will, for how these things don't happen to come together at the very same time. It's not far off. It's only about a week and a half off that difference anyway.
Put it all together, it's dark outside. What a surprise that across cultures, holidays celebrate light.
And that involves, in some cultures, burning a large, large log that's known as a Yule log to provide light across that time period. But if we come inside, what we tend to do is we use candles to provide that extension of light. So when we look at Hanukkah with the 8 candles of the menorah, if we look at the Christmas tree ornaments and decorations that are often used that use candles, if we look at Saturnalia, which also uses candles, if we look at Kwanzaa, which is an African-American secular holiday, not religious, but that also uses candles to recognize the principles of Kwanzaa. All of these put together are meant to bridge that time across which we have the least amount of light. So right now, coming up on Wednesday, we'll be down to 9 hours, 20 minutes, and 2 seconds of daylight.
Give or take.
But it's actually pretty exact because when we look at that day, we beat out the previous day by just 1 second. And we actually gain 3 more minutes of sunset time during this week. The only difference is that we've still lost 3 minutes with the later sunrises that occur this week. Also, things begin to even out, and then in early January, we begin to gain all of that time back.
And then pitchers and catchers report in February.
See, it's right around the corner.
Of course, even before the invention of the candle, people could go outside and look aloft. What's to be seen in the night sky this week?
I think it's a great week for Christmas viewing. If you're outside in the evening finishing off the last of the holiday preparations, you can see just at dusk and afterwards as the sky darkens, Venus and Mars over in the southwestern sky, high up enough to easily recognize them. And Venus really stands out because it is so bright. In fact, right now, Venus stands 100 times brighter than Mars does. The factors that contribute to this are proximity to the sun, proximity to us, the size of the objects, the reflectivity of the surface. And the difference in brightness between the two varies over time due to those same factors, primarily distance between us and the sun.
100 times seems like a lot. Is magnification required to even pick out Mars?
Actually, no, it isn't. Mars is bright enough to be seen without much difficulty at all, but you can really use the sort of ruddy color of Mars to help distinguish it, along with the fact that it will appear to shine steadily in the sky as opposed to having twinkle as stars do. If you're also up in the morning doing some secret preparations for the holidays, you can catch high in the southeastern sky the largest planet of the solar system, Jupiter. Now, as it turns out, this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the moon will be sliding past Jupiter and the bright star Spica in the pre-dawn sky. If you take the time, if you happen to be up on those days, watch as the moon slides by each day, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning. This will give you a very good idea of the moon's orbital motion around the Earth day by day. If you count up all of the days in the lunar cycle, you can see how it is that the moon moves from being a very thin crescent just after new moon, right through first quarter, full moon, last quarter, and coming back around to the new moon phase again, because as you see the moon in the sky this week, you'll notice that it is a very thin, waning crescent heading back toward New Moon next week.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.